Morning is a brief respite from the Lenten journey. We'll take some nourishment at the springs of baptism. And I'm going to read from the third chapter of Matthew's Gospel, the story of Jesus' baptism. It's a short scripture. I begin with verse 13 and read through verse 17. Listen now for the Word of God. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented it, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, and suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. My friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When I was in high school, on the weekend nights when I would leave the house to go out, my father would always send me off with the same words. Whether I was going out with the guys or going out on a date, he would always say to me these same weighty words, Son, remember who you are. Now you know what he meant. He wasn't concerned that I might develop a case of temporary amnesia and forget my name or street address or contact information. Rather, he wanted me to be sure not to forget who I was, the way I had been brought up, the values I had been given. Yes, remember who you are, was his paternal benediction to me every time I left the house to go out. And it was also his paternal benediction to me when I left home for good. Bill, remember who you are. Now, quite honestly, it's something easier said than done. It's sometimes difficult in modern life to actually remember that amidst all the conflicting claims and confusion of names, to actually remember who we are. We're forever, it seems, answering to some false name, forever misunderstanding who we are and by whom we are named. It's easy to forget. Yesterday, there are causes and groups and philosophies that are perfectly willing and able to tell us who we are. Who am I? Well, the capitalist would tell us you're mostly maker and spender of money. Capitalist, doer, producer, obtainer of car with sunroof and wonderful stereo and perhaps racing stripes if you're younger, and you're one who's paying off that 30-year note on a house with a two-car garage. And yes, this is what the advertisers tell us. Or Another group says you are a sexual being. You need to adore your body, care for it, nurture it, and the movies and the soap operas and the songs and so much of culture tells us that. And then secular society itself says you're a self-centered, autonomous, self-made being. Nobody will look out for you but you. You are the most important project in your life. Nurture, care for, and love your adorable little self. Look out for yourself. Soothe, make happy, thrill, care for yourself. Yes, my friends, to the pressing question, who am I? There are a multitude of voices competing for our attention. And to that very basic question in life that we are asked, whether tacitly or directly, the church has always responded to the who am I question by saying this: you are baptized. Yes. You are someone to whom a name has been given. And at baptism, we not only show forth our own name as the family announces it, the minister announces it, although folks often know it beforehand, but we are given the name Christian. And that name, at whatever age given, is a gift. It's unearned. It's unmerited, it's undeserved, just like salvation itself. And in so doing, the church makes a radically different claim about who we are and how we got to be who we are. We are now telling the baptized person that his or her identity is a gift, a corporate endowment of the church, something bestowed upon you by God's grace. Remembering not only who you are, but whose we are. As was said in the children's sermon, a child of God. Yes, so at baptism, we receive this name, Christian. Now, there's a story that's told about a Presbyterian minister. I understand it's a true story, and it's about one of those embarrassing moments in ministry. This minister was in the middle of performing a wedding ceremony. And in the midst of that ceremony, he suddenly realized that he had forgotten the groom's name. Hadn't remembered to write it down. Remember that, Greg, Jill, when that day comes. I did, Lori, Bobby, my daughter and son-in-law. I wasn't going to take any chances. You're pretty nervous on that particular one, that wedding. But this minister hadn't written the name down and realized he had forgotten the groom's name. And so he thought for a moment, and then he had a brilliant idea, and he said, turning solemnly to the groom, "With what name were you baptized?" Right before he asked him the vows. And the groom thought for a moment, puzzled. After all, this hadn't been in the wedding rehearsal. And then it came to him, and he said, "I was baptized with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now understand, this was absolutely no help to the minister. You have to give him an A for trying, but and somehow he went on, but at least that groom understood the meaning of baptism. He knew in whose name he was baptized. And when we look at our New Testament lesson, we have to realize that the whole point of the story, it seems, is here at the end. What is most important about today's scripture lesson is how it ends. Note, God's voice is warm and welcoming when Jesus is baptized. You are my son, the beloved one. With you I am well pleased. Even before Jesus has done anything noteworthy, he hasn't yet begun his ministry, understand. God praises him. God affirms that Jesus is precious, that he is unique, that he is loved, not for what he has done, but for who he is. And in a real sense, in this baptismal scene, God echoes the divine delight and pleasure that was expressed at the very beginning of creation. After the creation of the sea and the dry land, God said, "It is good." After the creation of the light and the dark, the star and the sun and the moon, God said, "It is good." After the creation of the birds and the animals, the plants and the trees, the fish of the sea, God said, "It is very good." And after the creation of the man and woman in God's image, God said, "It is good. It is very, very, very good." And now, after the baptism of Jesus, after this immersion into the human condition, God says, "This is good. This is delightful. This is my beloved who brings me great pleasure. This is very, very, very good." And my friends, believe it or not, so it is with each one of us when we are baptized. We too are blessed as the beloved. We too bring pleasure to God. We are known as children of God, and we are given the name Christian. And in fact, Paul comes right out and says it in Romans when he says, "We are children of God, and if children of God, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." Back in 1976, America's bicentennial year, a very creative writer came up with an intriguing idea. Our nation is 200 years old, he thought. I bet I can find someone who is alive today who is old enough that when they were a child, they remember someone who was then old enough to have been alive at the founding of the nation. A literal living link to the beginning of our country. And sure enough, this writer found such a person. He was a Kentucky farmer named Burnham Ledford, who was already over 100 years old in 1976. And he remembered that when he was a little boy being taken by a wagon to see his great-great-grandmother, who was then over 100 years old herself and who was a little girl when George Washington was inaugurated as the first president. And when the writer asked Burnham what he remembered, he said he remembered being taken into his great-great-grandmother's house. She was feeble. She was blind. She was sitting in an old chair in a dark corner of her bedroom. And his father said, "We've brought Burnham to see you, Grandmother." And the old woman turned toward the sound and reached out with her long, bony fingers and said in an ancient, cracking voice, "Bring him here." They had to push me toward her, Burnham recalled. She scared me half to death. But when I got close to her, she reached out her hands and began to feel my nose and my chin. She stroked my face and felt my eyes, and all at once she seemed to be satisfied, and she pulled me close to her and held me tight, and she said, "This boy's a Ledford. I can feel it. I know this boy. He's one of us." My friends, at baptism, in a much deeper way, God holds each one of us close and says, "I know this one. I called this one by name. This one belongs to me. He or she is one of us, a child of mine, a child of God, a Christian." And so my last word to you this morning, my friends, is this. Remember who you are. Amen.